Nikki Haley. Her primary campaign was built to win in places like here, Massachusetts, suburbanized, highly educated states with lots of moderate and unenrolled voters. But yesterday, nearly 60% of Republican voters in the Commonwealth cast their ballots in favor of Donald Trump. Actually, I should say 60% of people who voted in the Republican primary, putting all 40 Massachusetts delegates in the hands of the former president. Now, as we've covered, Haley suspended her campaign this morning. So what does that tell us about the future of conservatism here? Jennifer Nussur is with us. Jennifer chaired Nikki Haley's campaign in Massachusetts and also served as the chair of the Massachusetts GOP from 2009 to 2011. Jennifer Nussur, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm just going to start with the obvious question. Jennifer, how are you?
So as a Republican in Massachusetts, you kind of get used to defeat. it's something that I have experienced before, but it's disappointing, definitely disappointing. I really adore Nikki. I think that I've gotten to know her as a real person, as a friend. And she's kind. And if anyone saw her speech earlier, she is gracious. She has integrity and grit and class. And, it's unfortunate that the Trump machine spewed the lies that they spewed and the campaign tactics that they did, but it won for them. And so, I guess congratulations to them.
We're speaking with Jennifer Nussur. So I went back and forth about asking you to clarify the lies that you're talking about, but I also don't want to double down on misinformation. So we'll keep moving in the conversation. Now that Haley has suspended her campaign and you and I are having a conversation about a candidate who's not actively in the election, you've just laid out, Jennifer Nussur, some of what you valued about this candidate. It's a lot to give your time over to chairing a state campaign. What realistically did you hope would happen here in the Commonwealth? And did any of that happen, Jennifer?
It did. I've been doing this a very long time. This isn't my first rodeo. So I knew the communities that were going to break for Nikki, and that's what we saw, right? Newton and Wellesley, the suburban outskirts, Boston almost went for Nikki. And remember, this is a Republican primary. This isn't a general election. And in this, what we found in Massachusetts was what was going on in a lot of the other states, not the states that voted on Super Tuesday, but Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Utah. She won DC, she won Vermont. But, what you kept seeing was about 30 to 40% of the Republican primary electorate did not want to vote for Donald Trump. They were voting for Nikki Haley. They liked what she had to say. They were voting for Haley. They were voting against Trump. This spells, for me in Massachusetts, it kind of landed where I thought we were going to land, in that 30 to 40% range of people that were saying, we really like what she's saying. And so I think at the end of the day, both Biden and Trump really need to start figuring out how they are going to unify not just their parties, but how they are going to have a unifying message to all voters. Because if you're president of the United States, you're president to all. And neither of them have done that. And you see, when you look at the results of where Biden was yesterday, when in Massachusetts, 10% say they didn't want Biden. they were just saying that they didn't want, it was not their choice, right? So I think both Biden and Trump have done a really terrible job of communicating that they would be president for everyone. And at this point now, each of them has an opportunity to change that narrative.
So a couple of things there. On the Republican ballot, with 82% of the votes reported, Donald Trump had 59.9% of the vote here in Massachusetts. Nikki Haley had 36.9. And then no preference, Chris Christie and Ron DeSantis each had 1% or less, just to provide some context. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden had 82.9%. The no preference was 9.4%, although I did find it interesting that earlier in the show, Boston Globe analyst James Pindle pointed out that in 2012, Barack Obama actually had a larger no preference vote in Massachusetts by percentage than Joe Biden did. I'm going to play some sound here. There are a couple of things from Nikki Haley this morning. Here she is. She didn't endorse Trump, but here she is addressing the imperative for Trump, Jennifer Nasur.
It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that.
Underscoring your point, in Massachusetts, do you anticipate any message from the presumptive nominee for president on the Republican side that will earn the votes of the 30 to 40% of people who didn't show up for him, who voted against him in this primary, Jennifer Nasur?
Well, I mean, let's start from January when Donald Trump stood on a stage in New Hampshire, and instead of being gracious and taking the win and commending Nikki for doing, you know, getting in the 40s in New Hampshire, first thing he did was he bashed the way that a woman looked, bashed her dress, her choice of clothing. And then he went on to say that anyone who donates to Nikki Haley is permanently barred from MAGA. Now, number one, it's called the Republican Party. It's not called the MAGA Party, regardless of the narrative that he would like to throw out there. Number two, last week, then he said, DC, if you don't vote for me, you know, you have no access. He had gone and—
That's the address in Washington, D.C., which went for Nikki Haley.
Washington, D.C., yes. And then he also bashed a Republican woman who was running for Congress, Mozzie Flipp, for George Santos' seat, called her a foolish woman. So I don't know, but I'm just going to say, as a woman, I am feeling a little bit like Donald Trump is not speaking to me. I don't think Donald Trump is ever going to speak to me. And I can't see how Haley supporters overlook what he has said and how nasty he has been, because it went past normal campaign shenanigans normal things that you say.
Let me jump in there for a second on a couple of things, Jennifer. I hear you, and he said a lot of stuff like that last time, and said a lot of stuff like that in 2016. So the 60% of voters in Massachusetts in the Republican primary who chose Donald Trump knew that about him, already knew that. And it is looking like the national mechanism is moving from Republican to MAGA. Donald Trump has nominated Whatley out of South Carolina to chair the RNC, the Republican National Committee, with a co-chair of Lara Trump, who is his daughter-in-law. It presents a set of challenges there for a Republican in the Commonwealth who wants to chart a different way. And I know you've also been watching the bid in the state ballot to see who's going to be in control of the state party going forward, a wing that is a little more aligned with moderate Republicans or a wing that is more aligned with Donald Trump. Come all the way home to Massachusetts now. What do you do next? You put time, blood, sweat, and tears into this. What do you do now, Jennifer Nasur, as a woman who wants a Republican Party that reflects what you care about?
Well, I'm going to keep fighting. I mean, I have my organization, Pocketbook Project. I have a podcast called Political Contessa. I'll continue to use my voice and speak to the disenfranchised Republicans that are like myself, that refuse to give up our Republican registration, but are very unhappy with the way that nationally the Republican Party is conducting itself. I am a big fan of Amy Carnevale. I think Amy's been doing a phenomenal job. She's won two seats so far, whereas the last guy, Jim Lyons, or as I like to call him, Lion Jim Lyons, continued to lose. I am fearful that Donald Trump being at the top of the ticket is going to crush chances that Republicans have in the state, which is really unfortunate because we need a healthy two-party system. And 64% of voters at this point are unenrolled. And if someone doesn't start speaking to those voters, the voter apathy, which is what we saw yesterday, will just continue to grow.
So I'm going to play a little bit of sound that struck me from Nikki Haley when she announced the suspension of her campaign this morning.
Just last week, my mother, a first-generation immigrant, got to vote for her daughter for president.
And when she won Vermont, she became the first woman to win a Republican presidential primary in a U.S. state. What does Nikki Haley do now? And is she a sign of progress by having come as far as she did, Jennifer Nasur, in our last 30 seconds or so?
Well, I almost cried when she said that because I found it very touching when there were pictures of her with her mom, who has Parkinson's, is in a wheelchair, went to go vote for her. As a mom of daughters, I find that really heartwarming. Nikki can write her own path. She can do anything she wants. She has supporters like myself that will follow her to hell and back. And I think that whatever she says she's going to do next, we are all on board with her. And she always has that infrastructure because she's a really good person.
Jennifer Nasur is chair of the Massachusetts campaign for Nikki Haley. For President Haley suspended her campaign this morning. Jennifer, thanks for being on Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, as always.